Well, good morning. It's good to have you with us this morning, members and guests and friends and visitors alike. And you get a, if I had a badge to hand out, I'd give you one. Being such a beautiful day, if you had an excuse to stay away from church, this would be the morning, right? So thank you for coming. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we thank you. At the end of the day, it's true, you are the only one we need, but so many things invade our time and our minds and our agendas and our desires and all of that. And you know that, and yet you love us and you woo us to you. So God, I just ask this morning once again, help us to focus in on the things that are needful and to just let go of the rest for a little bit of time. And then to receive whatever it is you have for each one of us this day. And in so doing, to be a little bit more as you are. We just ask this in Christ's name today. Amen. Well, if you were not here last Sunday, I began a series on forgiveness. And you won't be completely lost. In fact, in my mind, and maybe the Lord gave you this or something else, but my focus in some sense last week was to consider some things that forgiveness is not in order to understand more clearly what it is. I pray God would have a nugget or something for you this morning to take and for your blessing and your healing and just to be a conduit maybe for someone else to pass along some thoughts on forgiveness. And so last week, the title was more along the lines of a hurt undeserved, which we can all share something along those lines. If you've lived long enough, you will experience that. But today, I want to take it to a little different approach of raising the question, is total forgiveness practical or can it be a reality? Because it just sounds like pie in the sky. And I want us to see that in God's timing and by His grace, that yes, total forgiveness can be a reality in this life. And so in offering a series on forgiveness, we need to hear this truth over and over again because we need to forgive. But as well, I guess the other side of that coin would be we need to learn how to receive and to give forgiveness because it is really a learning process for all of us. Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said that without forgiveness, there is no future. And if you're familiar with his life experience, you know that he was arrested in South Africa during a very difficult time of that country. And on the other side of apartheid, the aftermath, he made that statement, without forgiveness, there is no future. And in that statement, what he is basically saying that what's true of individuals is true of families, and what's true of families is true of cities, and what's true of cities is true of states and then nations at large. That forgiveness has to be a central element in order for a future to take place that's meaningful and healthy, and so without forgiveness, there is no future. We could add to that statement in several ways without changing it, if you will. We could say, without forgiveness, there is no freedom, truly. Without forgiveness, there is no recovery. Without forgiveness, there is no healing. And so it's a central part of who we are. But I realize, even in saying that, once again, trying to overcome that idea that this standard is too high and it's almost, as I say, pie in the sky, in a world with so much pain and so much hatred between races and tribes and clans and nations, is total forgiveness practical? Or is it just some lofty idea? And it's an honest question. It truly is. And I believe it's one that needs to be answered. Because we might end up saying something like this. You know, yes, total forgiveness is the best way, but it's far beyond us. And so we got to bring it down and settle for something a little less because we'll never reach that place. We could say that, and we can think that. But we would be wrong in doing that. See, total forgiveness may be beyond us, but that doesn't make it impossible. It just means we've fallen short of God's goal for our lives. We begin with the observation, and we sing about it, and it as a blessing on Sunday morning when we mention what Jesus means in our lives and what Jesus has done for our lives and what Jesus has done to give us life. And in saying that, we recognize that forgiveness of sin is a major, major biblical doctrine. The Bible has a great deal to say about God's forgiveness of our sin because that's where salvation in this life begins. In fact, let me just share a few. From Psalm 103, we hear, as far as the east is from the west, and I'm probably pointing in the wrong direction, but you get the point. As far as that direction, from that direction, he has removed our transgressions from us. It goes on to say in the same psalm, O Lord, if you kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. In the book of Acts in the New Testament, we see everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, though we are in the fourth chapter today, in the first chapter, Paul wrote this statement, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. See, if God did not forgive us, we would have to shoulder that forever, weighed down under that load. But the Bible also tells us the other side of that coin about our forgiving others as they have hurt us and harmed us, if you will. And here's two examples. Chapter 11 of the Gospel of Mark, and when you stand praying, Jesus says, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. And then once again, our focus statement today, Ephesians 4, verse 32 says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Christianity is supremely a religion of forgiveness. It's the heart of who we are, and it begins with God, it comes down to us, and it goes out to others. Because God has only one solution to the problem that we have, and that's the act of forgiveness. And so be blessed to know that there is a direct connection between our own spiritual health and our willingness to forgive others whenever they have wronged us or done things against us. And when I allow a root of bitterness to spring up within me, I cannot be truly healthy, and I know that. I've been there, done that, don't like doing that, but I do that at times. Now, I'm sure we would all agree today that forgiveness is of the Lord in the sense, as I said a moment ago, that it starts with God, it comes down to us, and then it goes out to other people. And that's essentially, in my mind today, what this verse in Ephesians is saying. Verse 32 is saying we are to forgive as God has forgiven us. And I kind of ended the message last Sunday with that idea, is the fact that if we take time to reflect sometimes on how much we have truly been forgiven, it gives a perspective on how we are able to forgive others. From God to us, to others. Grace to us, grace to others. That's his plan, but is it a realistic way to live? Can anyone really truly live that way in a fallen world is the question. And so what would a grace full, filled up to the top and overflowing lifestyle look like? Well, when Paul says forgive each other, that raises the question, what does he mean by that? I just simply want to take this morning and out of that to raise five questions, and hopefully this will speak to you and bless you this week as you think about the idea of forgiveness. Now, when you look at the scriptures, there are many forms of the word for forgiveness in the Bible. One translation can mean to blot out, to literally blot it out. Another one is to lift it up and to carry it away, kind of like that verse in Psalms, from the east to the west, like a heavy load being taken away. And then finally, it's to show grace to the one who has sinned greatly. Speaking of the undeserved nature of forgiveness, it's a true gift of God. In their book, John Nieder and Thomas Thompson, their book, Forgive and Love Again, they say this. They point out that the Bible uses at least 75 different word pictures for forgiveness. That's pretty amazing, just the different ways that we can see and experience forgiveness. And here's a few of them. To forgive is to turn the key and to open the cell door and to let the prisoner walk free. It's to write in large letters across a debt, nothing owed. It's to pound the gavel in a courtroom and declare not guilty. And I like this one. It's to bundle up all the garbage and trash and dispose of it, leaving the house clean and fresh. Maybe that one spoke to me because it's my job on Tuesday morning to do that. So I won't forget maybe this week. It's to grant a full pardon to the condemned criminal. It's to relax a stranglehold on a wrestling opponent. And as a banker, you hold a note detailing a huge debt owed to you, tearing it into 1,000 pieces. That's forgiveness. And when we forgive, we consciously before God cancel the debt. It's also helpful to remind ourselves what forgiveness does not mean, as I shared a moment ago from last week. Let me just recap that right quick. Forgiveness, in a biblical sense, does not mean denying that evil was done. It does not mean excusing sinful behavior. It does not mean pretending it never happened. It does not mean glossing over the pain that you suffered. It does not mean removing all consequences for wrong behavior. It doesn't mean overlooking criminal behavior. It doesn't mean ever approving of evil. It doesn't mean condoning abuse. It doesn't mean acting as if the sin never happened. It doesn't mean letting others continually abuse you. And it doesn't mean claiming that you really weren't hurt. Forgiveness is not reconciliation or restoration. I want us to hear that today because sometimes they may come together and overlap, but it's not always the case. There may not be reconciliation. There may not be a restoration of a relationship whenever someone has been hurt deeply. And it's not a tool to manipulate others to confess what they did. So what is it? What is forgiveness? Well, the most important thing that I may be able to say this morning, possibly the most valuable thing of this sermon this morning, is that forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. I want us to hear that, and I'm once again preaching to me as much as anyone, that forgiveness truly is a choice and not a feeling. See, God never says, forgive them if you feel like it. There won't be a lot of forgiving going on, amen? Someone can amen that. He never says that. In fact, if you have been deeply hurt, you will possibly never, ever feel like forgiving that person for whatever that was. Forgiveness is to choose from the heart. It's a choice to release the other person, the one who has sinned against you, and letting go of the anger and the desire for revenge. And in its true light, in this regard, forgiveness is actually an act of mercy, of you being able, by the power of God through you, to the other person, showing mercy that only God can give you and I to reveal and show. Sometimes people will say this, well, he doesn't deserve forgiveness. Well, let me say, well, a big theological statement, well, duh. No one deserves forgiveness. If they deserved it, it wouldn't be forgiveness. No one deserves that. So forgiveness isn't earned in that sense. And if a person could earn it, then they wouldn't need it in the first place. There are times that I've been forgiven. I knew I never deserved it. And what a wonderful gift of mercy it was when it was given in those situations. But I want to note here, the gift is given to the other person while remaining between you and God. And that's okay. Because sometimes the world will say that you have to work it out. You have to, you know this phrase, forgive and forget. I don't find that in Scripture, actually. We'll address that question in just a moment. But the gift is given to the other person between you and God. The other person may even never know about it. And when you forgive, God knows and you know. And that's all that you need because your feelings and your actions toward that other person will begin to change because God knows and you know. Number two, the second question, first question is what is forgiveness? Secondly, how do I know when I've truly forgiven? How will I know if I've truly forgiven someone? And here's just a short, simple response to that. To put simply, you will know that you have truly forgiven when you no longer think about it day and night, when you no longer have to talk about it all the time, when you no longer feel the need to seek revenge, and when you no longer live in bitterness and anger, and when you can recall those hurts and the one who hurt you, and you can wish them well. And that's where I kind of ended last week, was the idea that Dr. Kendall, who wrote the book that I had referenced last week on forgiveness, said he had an encounter with someone who hurt him deeply, and the Lord spoke to him and said, can you pray for a blessing in this person's life? And when we get to that point to where we can, as Jesus said, bless those who curse us, then we know forgiveness is well on its way. And so number three, what about the person who says, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget? What about that statement? It's actually a very common problem, and it's a very common statement. We all understand that God forgets our sin when he blots them out and casts them into the depth of the sea. And he can forget because, well, he's God, and he has the power to do that. But we're not. And our painful memories at times will return to trouble us. And so in thinking of this problem, Hebrews 10:17 comes to mind, where the author says, their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more. Note that last phrase. This is God speaking. I will remember no more. See, God's forgiveness means that he chooses not to remember our sins. He desires that we are just like him. Now, that's helpful to me because forgiveness really is a choice. Even though it doesn't feel like that, because it's not a feeling, it's not a fleeting desire, and it doesn't mean that we somehow clean our mind from the record of what happened. Forgiveness means that you and I choose not to remember. There's a big difference between remembering something and dwelling on it. Because honestly, I can remember and you can remember things from the past that have deeply hurt us, but forgiveness means it's a discipline that we choose by God's grace not to dwell there or hold a grudge. Let me share an example that I found when putting this together. Clara Barton, you may be aware of that name, who was the founder of the Red Cross, was having a conversation with a friend one day, and the name of a person that they both knew came up in the midst of their conversation. And her friend said, years ago, because that person had actually hurt Clara in some way, the friend asked Clara, well, don't you remember what she did to you? And Clara Barton replied, no, I actually distinctly remember forgetting that. There's a gracious place to be. I distinctly remember forgetting that. It's a choice. Number four, how do we forgive if they do not confess? Now, here's the heart of the matter, isn't it? This is the hard one, the obstacle to overcome where forgiveness is concerned. How do you, or how can you forgive those who don't own up to it? If they don't ask for forgiveness, how can you forgive them? See, this really is a painful problem for many people because we live in a cruel world filled with mean people. There are folks out there, given time and a chance, that will hurt you and walk away even maybe laughing. You may even have worked with someone like that. How do you forgive someone, even someone who has died, and people who have moved on out of your life? There's no opportunity to connect or interact again. Well, John Calvin addresses this in two ways. He says there are two kinds of forgiveness. First of all, the first one is when a person who did the wrong admits it, and they come to ask for forgiveness, and you grant it, and that relationship is restored. That's the best. And that's ideal. That's an ideal scenario for forgiveness, because there's confession, there's forgiveness, there's reconciliation, and there's healing. And that's the whole package. But unfortunately, in this fallen world we live in, the ideal seldom happens. Sometimes people who have wronged us will not admit it no matter what. In fact, I would go as far as say some will even lie to continue to cover up the truth. So how can you forgive in that situation? Well, here's where Calvin says, secondly, in this scenario, you can forgive even in that situation in the sense that you let go of your anger and your bitterness. You let go of it. You let go in such a way you're refusing to let the hurt dominate your life. And it's true, the relationship will stay broken. But it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven, because you can choose to clear the slate so that your life is free from bitterness. Now, even as I'm saying this, I know that's not easy. But is it possible? And the answer is, by the grace of God, absolutely, it is. It's not easy, but it's a far better place to live than in the past nursing a wound in your spirit. And it's also biblical, because here's the text again that I shared last week of Jesus on the cross, an innocent man put to death for crimes he did not commit, praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And so Jesus gives us that example as he is there forgiving in the midst of a very difficult and trying situation. Number five, and the last one, last question. What about the feelings of anger that keep coming back? And for some, this might even be the more important heart of the matter. I thought I'd forgiven this, and I've heard that. I thought I was done with this. And they probably had, and they probably were. And so we need to recognize sometimes feelings keep coming back. So the final question is, how do we deal with those feelings that keep coming up even after we really have forgiven a situation and a person? How do we deal with that? Well, it happens especially when we feel deeply and repeatedly mistreated. Another situation in one of her writings, Corrie ten Boom, if you're not familiar with her, she was one of a family during World War II who shielded and took in some of the Jews, from protected their lives from the Nazis in Germany, and eventually her and her sister went to one of the concentration camps. And I would say, by God's grace, Corrie was released and went on to have a very powerful ministry after all of that she had lived through. But in the days after the war, when she was released, she had some interactions with Christian friends, and a Christian friend in particular who had wronged her in a very difficult way. For many days, the story goes, she was bitter and she was angry until she forgave them. But in the night, even though she claimed to forgive them, at night it would just keep running the film, I guess, through her mind, and she would think about whatever the situation was, and the feelings would come back. And for a matter of 2 weeks, literally, she dealt with that. And so the story goes that she got help from a pastor that she confessed to after a period of 2 sleepless weeks. And here's what he said. He told her, he said, "Corrie, up in the church there's a bell tower. And we know that. We have one. We hear on Sunday morning to begin our hour and to call people to worship. And up in the tower is a bell that is rung by pulling a rope. And every time the sexton goes up to pull the rope down, the bell peals out that loud ding, ding, and you hear it, and it vibrates and people all across the village hear the bell ringing." And he said to her very intentionally, "What happens if he doesn't take a hold and pull that bell? What happens if he doesn't do that, pull that rope? Well, if he doesn't pull it again, the sound slowly begins to fade. Ding, and it gets softer. And eventually, it will go away." Forgiveness is like that. He said to her, when we forgive someone, we take our hand off the rope and we let go of it and we stop pulling it. But if we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we shouldn't be surprised if that old angry thought keeps coming back for a while. They're just the ding-dongs of the old bell slowly moving. But as soon as we're able to let go of the rope, eventually they will fade. So it's not surprising if after forgiveness, for a while the memories will come back. But if you refuse to dwell on them, if you refuse to pull that rope, if you let go of it and not take a hold of it, when you forgive, you let go and the force eventually leaves and the anger eventually subsides. I like that story and that image of what it's like to be able to, over a period of time for some, depending on how deep the hurt, forgiveness comes, but it might take time to work out those feelings and those experiences, but it's possible. So in closing, go with me back to the original question. Is total forgiveness practical? Can it be a reality? Can we totally forgive? Can it be a realistic experience? Well, I would say on a purely human level, the answer is no, we can't. In our own strength, we will never be able to forgive others as God forgives us. Completely, absolutely, without strings, freely, immediately, graciously, we'll never be able to do that as long as we live on the human level. But total forgiveness, even though it's beyond our grasp, once we bring God into the picture, everything changes because we know from His Word that all things are possible in Christ. And so on the supernatural level, total forgiveness is not only practical, it is the supernatural, natural way of life. It's where we operate. It's where we are called to come up to. It's where we are given the power and the strength and the ability and even the desire to live in that context. Forgiveness is nothing less than a miracle of God. And so if you're in the midst of experiencing that at any point in your life, recognize you have seen a miracle. You have experienced one. You may be living in the middle of one. It's a miracle we receive the moment that Christ comes into our life, and it's a miracle that we give others when in Jesus' name, by His power and for His sake, we forgive those who have sinned against us. And it's only by His grace that we can do that. Without forgiveness, there is no future, so said Archbishop Desmond Tutu. His words ring true because they are based on the truth of God's Word. And so without forgiveness, there is no future, there is no freedom, there is no hope, there is no healing. But the other side of that coin, where there is forgiveness, there is grace, there is mercy, there is a future as bright as the promises of our God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's join our hearts in prayer as we close. Let's pray. Dear Lord, oh God, we thank You today for the power of forgiveness, because it's one that we know that we don't fully have without You. And so we choose to forgive everyone who has hurt us in Christ. Oh God, help us to set free those who come to our mind and our heart that have, whether intentionally or unintentionally, done harm, and release them to You. Oh God, help us to do more than just that. Help us to bless those who have hurt us. And help us to walk in righteousness, in peace and joy, demonstrating Your life here on earth. And so we have a choice. Today, we can choose to be kind and compassionate, forgiving others, just as You forgave us. As Your Word tells us, to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave us. Thank You for